This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. You're listening to Geek Speak. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy. Oh, let's give you some...
How's it going, man?
Let's give you some electrons.
Yeah.
All right.
It's always better, especially when you're halfway losing your voice.
Absolutely.
Wow, it's kind of quiet out there.
It is cool.
Yeah.
There's just the... Everyone's complaining about the FCC thing with Trump and all that, and there's not a lot else going on, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to encourage... I saw a really funny article about... It was posing the question of whose browsing history do you want to purchase first? And it had a list of Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and one other conservative member of Congress that helped to pass this whole law. And
isn't there like a GoFundMe or a Kickstarter or something for that?
What, to raise money to so you can buy the browsing history?
Yeah.
I'm all in. I mean, I think that is the absolutely talk about real life consequences for actions. It's, you know, I mean, what better way to get the point across than to have everybody go, oh, I see you've been looking for anti-aging wrinkle cream, you know, or whatever. So
8-track discs. Wait, cassettes.
8-track cassettes. There you go. Yeah. So it's, you know, that's a real concern. It's, you know, all I can say is that I feel sorry for anybody who like is willing to pay any money to read my browsing history. You know, it's just not that exciting. So.
Yeah, that's right. You just fire up Tor browser and then go surf Reddit for a while. And then mm-hmm. when you're doing something important, they can't tell the difference between you surfing Reddit or doing something a little more interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, the bottom line is there are going to be so many VPN tunnels snaking across this country. And that's going to be, if there was an obvious target for, you know, like any kind of an outlier for VPN services, you know, commercial VPN services, mm-hmm. that I'd buy stock right now, you know. There are so many different companies all over the place. Any VPN providers that you use, any services that you subscribe to, or I know you probably have your own.
I have a home rolled thing where I can, so I remote into, you know, my client's routers and then it looks like I'm there instead of wherever I'm at. Uh-huh. So sometimes I remote into my own network. Uh-huh. Sometimes I remote into my client's networks and uh-huh. just depends on where I'm feeling like I'm where I want to look like I'm for originating my traffic from.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I guess so wherever the traffic originates from on a VPN, or it looks like it originates from, that's whose browsing history they think it is, right? You know, so if you could set up a VPN on, say, Paul Ryan's router,
right,
for instance, then, you know, we could have a lot of fun with. I hope the FBI is not listening right now. But
you need a Tor endpoint on that router. Is that what you're saying? Or
exactly.
One of the computers on that network?
Yeah. Yeah.
That could be fun. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976.
Give us a call. We'll help you fix some stuff.
Yeah.
So
I was recording my wind chimes the other day and heard some thunder.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, so maybe we should. Maybe
thunder and wind chimes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
Nice.
So I just haven't mixed it down yet, but
you know, put that on like a continuous loop to listen to while you're sleeping.
Yeah, maybe a white noise thing. Yeah. Yeah,
maybe get some like whale sounds in the background too. Yeah. We got a call here.
I don't have any underwater microphones.
Yeah,
you're on the air with the geeks.
Hey, Lou, Craig and Rifle.
Hey, Craig and Rifle.
Hey, I've been listening the last few weeks. It's been a little slow on your end. People calling in, so.
Yeah, I am kind of slow. It's that crud that's been going around, man.
No, your responses have been very good.
I'm just kidding.
But you haven't had much opportunity to respond.
Yes. So all right. So stimulate us, man.
Well, before, without getting jeers or boos, I use Windows Live Mail and on 10. And I've been getting, when I go to send PDFs or attachments, I get a not responding signal, and it just is not responding, and it sits there and sits there and sits there, and then finally it responds. and sends the thing out. And I'm wondering what may be causing that. I did go in and change some processes that were using lots of stuff on the CPU, some of the other Microsoft Nazi stuff.
Okay.
But I'm wondering if you have any insight.
So let's
that.
Back it up a little bit. The not responding message, is that coming from your mail program, did you
yes.
say?
Yes. When I go to send something out that has a PDF or two or three, it just says not responding, and it just sits there, and then it responds. And if I walk away and come back, I see that eventually it got sent.
Got it. Okay. Well, you know, my most immediate thought is that, you know, mail programs have a built-in timeout threshold, and, you know, due to traffic or whatever, you know, and the mail server, the outbound mail server that you're trying to bounce mail off of, I'm guessing that that's just a fairly busy or maybe a little bit overloaded server, and the timeout threshold that's set in your mail program before it starts displaying the not responding message is set a little bit too short. You know, not that that's something that you can actually go in and change. You know, that's not a user modifiable setting to change that. So I know that's like kind of like the non-answer of the century.
No. That could make sense. I am using Rough and Tug.
Okay.
Now, if I send something just to respond to something, as long as there's no attachment, it's immediate.
Got it.
But as soon as I've got a PDF, I send out pictures of my water systems or line drawings or cut sheets or whatever.
Yeah,
it just will sit there, and sometimes it takes 5 minutes or better to send the email out.
Huh.
But it never does it unless I have an attachment.
Got it. Yeah. Well, it really does sound like a timeout issue, and I love home rolled. Internet providers like the aforementioned, but I'm willing to bet that no new hardware has been invested in for a while, as far as the infrastructure that you're passing stuff through. So, so basically, you've got the mail infrastructure has pretty much been the same probably for the last 8 to 10 years. And yet at the same time, the PDFs have got, grown in, exponentially.
Well, I've only been with them 25 years.
Yeah. Are you one of the charter members?
Well, I still have a 3-initial email address.
Nice. I was actually originally, I did a bunch of freelance tech work for those guys. So I I'll be the first one to say I cut my teeth.
Okay. So, on a side note, if I'm on a sent thing, or I'm looking through something that I've got in a file, and I happen to stop on a thing that has an attachment or two, even if I'm not sending it, it still will go not respond while I wait. So I was wondering if that's something in my system itself that might be a problem. It does it when I go to send it, but if I say I'm looking for something alphabetically, looking for a name, and it happens to hit on one with some attachments on it, I can sit there and wait for minutes for that to open.
So
just in Windows Live Mail itself.
I'm guessing you're probably using IMAP protocol. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. That is probably, that's a big part of that delay right there. Is that because those what you're browsing in the Windows Live Mail window, you're actually browsing the contents of folders that are located on the mail server. They're not actually located on your server.
Well, there's a cache of them on your computer. But
yeah, you have a cache, but as far as the actual, I don't know, do the PDFs get actually kept?
It depends on the settings of the mail client.
Yeah. So, a lot of people don't know that, but when you're in IMAP, you're basically using a mail program as a viewer to view content that's located on the server.
So they're my backup.
Yeah. There are a number of different reasons, really good reasons for using IMAP, especially for people that want to maintain parity across a bunch of different devices. That way, like for instance, if you're using POP, which the old style post office protocol, and you send a message from one device, it doesn't show up in the sent items folders of the other devices. If you use IMAP, then it's basically you're working from this like one set of folders across all your different devices. You're just viewing them from all these different places.
So it's like an early version of a cloud.
It is. It is actually. And it's kind of funny because I've had clients, you know, I'd suggest that they, you know, like maybe implement Dropbox or, you know, some of the other cloud technology. And they say, oh, no, I'm not going to the cloud. And I'm like, I got news for you. You've been using IMAP for like 11 years. You've been in that ship has sailed.
You're in a cloud.
So, yeah, you are in the cloud, baby. So, yeah.
Well,
so,
I've been accused of being in a cloud before.
Yeah. So any latency that you get when you're browsing your IMAP folders is basically your Windows Live Mail client basically contacting the server and syncing the view. What you do is as you click on things, you trigger for it to synchronize between the server and the local client. So
I got it. Yep. Well, that's a very good explanation.
Cool. Yeah. So
it just means I have to learn patience.
Mm-hmm. Or set yourself up with a Gmail account to use for your sending of attachments and stuff.
Now,
like that.
Now, you had a conversation about being upset about the FCC and their new protocol.
Uh-huh.
However, and I'm in that boat with you guys. However, the argument that was made that made some sense is that Google already does this,
mm-hmm.
and they were Verizon and the like. Apple does this also. They're just looking for parity. So shouldn't we be attacking? You talk about do Gmail, but you go and do things on Gmail. That opens you up also for people searching for stuff.
Got it.
I mean, we did on a Facebook. We don't use do Facebook because the first time we looked at a relative's Facebook thing, Facebook got in the computer and said, you know, all these people in your email account are on Facebook. It's like, get out of my computer. And that's why we don't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So should there be a movement to make, if you're going to not allow, if we want to argue that Verizon shouldn't do this and AT&T shouldn't do it, shouldn't the argument be made that let's put more pressure on Google and let's put more pressure on Apple for having done the same thing for a long time?
Well, you know, I my take on it is that like when you agree to use Google, you know, there's a you know, kind of a user, what do they call it?
End user,
you know, agreement.
Or terms of service.
Pages.
Yeah. And you know, I think the thing about what Congress has just passed is that it's kind of like genericized the whole collection of browsing data. But you know, I will go home and research that because that's a very provocative thought or idea, you know, I had not considered, you know, and but then I've quite honestly have been kind of the like I don't really give a crap kind of guy with it. But I
sure
know,
I can ignore. You know, I'm just like you. We can ignore that stuff.
Yeah.
Firefox has been very good. The problem is that if you want to read things like the LA Times or you want to read New York Times or some other sources like that, with the Firefox protections, they won't let you in unless you open up.
Uh huh.
To allow them to see what you're doing.
Exactly.
So it's a mixed bag of what, like you say, how many people really care? Should all of us or none of us?
Yeah. Well, and then the other question is, you know, in that case, do you want good content? You know, I mean, it takes, you know, people have to spend time to create that content. So, you know, what's their monetary motivation to create that content? And if you have an ad blocker and, you know, the ad revenue is on the internet is largely the stream of profit for them. I mean, there's new things like Patreon and other things that we could talk about, but you know, ads are how, you know, these people are able to sit down and make this get paid to make the content that
no
you
doubt
want to
about
read.
It.
So it is a double-edged sword, you know. So it's like, well, I want to protect my computer and some of my privacy, but at the same time, you know, that's how they make their money. So it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. So you have to decide which ones you want to do that with. And, you know, maybe it's on them to make sure they parse their ad companies well so that they don't try to infect your computer when you're surfing their content.
Well, and don't do clickbaits.
That's all the internet is anymore.
And don't just go to a site when you want information on something. Don't let them tell you, hey, we saw you were looking at this. Click here for this information. Write it down and then go look for it yourself.
Yes. That's I haven't clicked on a Cabela's ad in years for that very reason.
Louis, I've known you a long time.
It's my duck hunting thing, man. Oh. It's like, I just, what can I say?
You're quacking me up, buddy.
Yeah, I'm out looking for decoys and stuff. So,
well, thanks for the input on that, and I won't be too hard on sending my check to you know who in Roaring Fork Valley.
All right. Take care, Craig. Appreciate your call, man. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. 963-2976.
Yeah. You know, I haven't hit our foreign correspondent off. Haven't hit Donna up to see if she wants to.
Oh, so you, I've been doing some bed research, mm-hmm. and I know that you picked up one of the online-only beds a year ago.
Casper mattress?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
So
you want to know what I think about it?
Sure. We've got pretty good reviews.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you, it took me a little bit of time to get used to it because one of the things I think you're going to find about like all of the different beds that you buy online, and there's what, like five or six of them now?
There's like 15 or 20.
Okay.
So I have it narrowed down to three.
Yeah. Is that they haven't really figured out a way to do like a reinforced wall on mm-hmm. the bed. So it pretty much means if you're like one of those people that's used to like sleeping with your leg draped off the edge of the bed or whatever,
it'll just drag you under the ground.
It kind of caves under, you know. So you basically have to get used to the fact that first of all, there's going to be an extra 6-inch buffer zone around the edge of the bed because mm-hmm. the edges are really soft. But I will, you know, it actually took me about 6 months. Believe it or not. And a lot of people would say, well, that's way too long to get used. I don't know why, but
foam mattresses are very different. And I've had one for the last decade mm-hmm. and it's been quite well. But
I'm to the
out.
Point where I wouldn't trade it for anything. You mm-hmm. know, it really does. There's something about the high tech foam that they use that it sleeps much cooler. Especially during the summer, I don't find myself waking up, you know, in a pool of sweat on a hot summer night. It seems to ventilate underneath mm-hmm. me. So yeah, it was definitely and you know, one of the really cool things about it was that, I used their in-house financing mm-hmm. for it because they do like, I think it's 9 months, same as cash type of deal.
0% APR kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And they do, it's not through Synchrony Bank or Wells Fargo mm-hmm. or any of the, you know, the standard big players.
Or Affirm, or yeah, there's a whole bunch of new ones now.
Well, it's like, it may be Affirm actually. Affirm, the system that they use does it all through text. You basically make all of your payments through text messages.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah. And it's very simple. They don't send you any statements or anything. It just pops up on the day that your payment is due. And it says, hey, payment's due. Want to make one? And you're like, yes, and you pay it, you know, and then, you know, but at the same time, they're like, well, hey, it's okay. If you want to wait 5 days, that's okay with us. Just click, you know, type in two and we'll remind you in 5 days, you know? And, but the whole thing was, I mean, it was really painless, you know, it was very, very easily done. No emails back and forth. No paper stuff in the mail. None of that. Just got it done. So it's, but yeah, the Casper mattress is the one that we went with.
I'm looking at the bed in the box, which is supposed to have some sort of high tensile polypropylene thing so you don't lose your 20% of your mattress kind of thing for the edge.
Oh, okay.
So that's one of the finalists
out of all of them. Let me know about that. But one thing I could say is make sure you get it in the room where you want it to be.
Yes.
Before you cut the Tyvek girdle off of it, because
well, they're like 105 pounds for a queen,
yeah,
or something. They're very heavy. I mean, the foam beds are very heavy.
Yeah, they're easy enough to move. But the bottom line is that they're like those things that you put in water, you know, that are like 1/8 the size of the final, and they basically, you put them in water and it's like, next thing you know, you got a little dinosaur,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're like that. You know, you cut that girdle and things just like, you know, it just blows up in your room. So it's, we made a really simple little platform for ours. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's just with like 4 3-inch slats and works great. So, yeah, I think it was under $1,000.
Great.
And didn't dream about taking it back. So, have you heard about Levi Garrett and Google have teamed up?
I don't think so.
Yes. You can basically get hands on your technology with the jacket with Google woven into it. So you can basically, once paired to a smartphone via Bluetooth, the jacket allows the wearer to control key functions with just a brush or tap of the cuff. A double tap with two fingers, for instance, starts or stops the music. So, you know, I can see a lot of great ways to play, you know, practical jokes on people. You know, you see that they're wearing one of these, and I don't know. I doubt that it says Google on the pocket, though, right? I mean, wouldn't that be a little bit too?
There's probably some little logo somewhere there. They have enough humorous for that, I'm certain.
Yeah. So, yeah. So wearable technology kind of goes to the next level. That's kind of interesting. Let's see. I was also reading an article here about, and this is kind of like the other side of smartphone use blamed for road deaths. Well, this is talking about the huge uptick in pedestrian deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a picture of four people walking across the street, all looking at their smartphone screens. And they're basically talking about a sharp rise in U.S. pedestrian deaths has been partly blamed on people using their smartphones while driving or crossing the road. And you know, it's one of those things where I've always kind of thought about it. It'll only be a matter of time before we hear about somebody like what they call a pedestrian accident,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a head on between two pedestrians that are using their smartphones and they just like run right into each other and both end up at Valley View.
Yeah. One of the augmented reality games I play it says remain alert and aware of your surroundings at all times. Headphones recommended.
Yes, that's pretty ironic.
So,
yeah, nice. Well, have you heard of a chip company called Imagination Technologies? Are you familiar with those guys?
It sounds familiar, but I can't think from where.
Well, you know, I had never heard of them before, but they're saying that I guess it's a chip that is used in Apple devices, specifically Apple mobile devices. And I guess Apple is giving them their walking papers, so their stock has taken a dive. And I don't think it's the main. Let's see, Imagination, like the UK's Arm Holdings, is at the forefront of computer chip technology globally. Arm was sold last year to Japan's SoftBank, a deal criticized as selling out of the UK's winners. So, because Arm, that's a pretty popular processor chip, right?
It's in almost all your phones. Yeah. So you have the ARM Cortex. Cortex is one that you'll find in almost all the phones. And mm-hmm. then, so it's kind of like you have x86 and x64.
Yeah.
It's more closely related to something like PowerPC.
Okay.
So it's architecture and instruction execution.
Okay.
So, but it's optimized as opposed for performance. It's optimized for low power consumption and mm-hmm. it's in all kinds of stuff.
Okay. Got it.
So, and yeah. ARM owns the parent company for BlackBerry, RIM, owned those patents for a very long time. And it sounds like they may have sold off to SoftBank.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to look a little bit more into that because I like to know what's under the hood of my smartphone. So,
well, it's like the Pi is built on that technology and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Well, we're still seeing a lot of crazy things taking over the screen of your computer, right?
Yeah, I had one of those take over my computer. It's like, call mm-hmm. your Mac's infected. Call now. It's like
call Microsoft, right?
No, this one was like, it recognized it was a Mac.
Okay,
and fed me a line of thing and started talking to me, and I'm like, nope. I almost wanted to call the number, but I didn't have time, unfortunately.
Oh, you can have a very stimulating conversation with those guys.
I'll have to record one of those when the next time that happens.
Nice. They can be our next guest on Geek Speak.
We'll play possum with them. It'll be fun.
Yeah. That's what we'll do.
We'll get one of those numbers.
Let's call them next. You guys tune in next week. We're going to call one of those guys from India and have them help us fix our computer. Air quotes.
Air quotes.
So, anyway.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. In studio with Louis Gerardo of Louis the Computer Guy.
And Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. Have a great week, everyone.